All right, welcome back to the Beacon Street Buzz. I'm Alden Hunnell, joined by Giovanni Coletta, Luke Koenig, Jackson Shafiroff, and Colin Kwok. And as of today, it is officially October at Boston College, which means only one thing, it's hockey season. And to celebrate, I'm joined by one of the three captains on the men's hockey team this year, Senior Brady Berard. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Please. Yeah, so to start, obviously you arrived from Providence last year, you know, put up 3 goals and 8 assists across 2 seasons, and then you decided to transfer, and now suddenly you're one of the three captains alongside Goose, who we've had plenty of times on the show, and Gasser. And have you been able to adjust to this new culture within the past year, or was there any major adjustment?
Yeah, I think the guys do a really good job here, and obviously it started with Yorkie, and obviously translated over to Brownie is establishing a good team culture. I think Brownie does a really good job with all the guys to make sure everyone's on the same page and kind of have a strict way to do things, and I think that's just the BC way, you know, and I think that's why there's such a high standard here is because we have such a big culture and such a good camaraderie of guys, and I think just putting it all together is a huge thing, and it was a pretty good adjustment, and I knew some guys last year that I played with USA with, so it was pretty smooth for me. And all the guys, it was obviously a credit to the coaches and the guys to make me feel welcomed right off the bat.
Yeah, was there anyone specific on the team you kind of leaned on during that transition?
I think it was everyone. I'm a guy that tries to kind of meet everyone and kind of get to know them outside of a hockey relationship. I guess kind of my grade, Paul Davey, obviously Gasser, Jelly, Triggs, my direct roommate, and Goose were obviously a big part of kind of welcoming me, and I think I kind of relied on them the most. And obviously guys I know before, like Leno and Gabe, I've played at USA with, and all those other 05 guys, so I relied on them. But at the end of the day, it kind of took a whole team, which I'm very appreciative of.
You got named captain this year. Obviously, a huge honor to be bestowed as a captain at Boston College. What was your reaction when you got named?
Yeah, I mean, it's an honor. It's to be considered a leader at any level is a huge thing. I remember my U15 year. I was a leader at Mount St. Charles, and you just never take for granted. Obviously, it's a huge honor to represent your team in a leadership aspect, but again, there's multiple leaders on every team. It's not just the guys with a letter, and I think when guys rely on you and kind of for have you to set the tone is a big deal, and that's always been my way of living is don't let anyone do it for you, and I think I just try to be the best teammate I can be every day, and I'm a guy that'll never change for anyone, so I'm really appreciative, and it's awesome to be a captain of the Eagles.
I always wonder what obviously, having the C on your chest gives you a greater responsibility, but I feel like I hear every captain we have on here say that it's not just me. It's not just the other captains leading. It's really a group effort that everyone's involved in it. But what are some of the ways that you guys as a team, maybe you as captains, will try to instill that into the rest of the squad?
Yeah, I think it's again, it's setting the tone, right? I think from day one, it's about kind of the standard at BC hockey. Standard here is win national titles, win Hockey East titles, win bean pots, stuff like that. And I think from day one, right off the get-go, I think it takes not just one guy, not just two guys, it takes the whole team. And I think as captain, you gotta set the tone because the coaches aren't going to be there every second of the day, but the guys in the locker room will. So I think it takes everyone. So just trying to set the tone from day one and make sure everyone's on the same page is a huge thing.
Yeah, obviously it's massive having someone to like look up to like mentorship wise. You spent 2 seasons in Providence, and if I'm not mistaken, you spent one with your older brother for freshman year. What was that like playing with your brother, and then obviously he's in the league now, so stuff like that.
Yeah, he's my biggest role model, best friend. Obviously playing with him that 1 year was a pretty special year for me and my family too. I always played baseball with him. I've never played hockey with him ever in my life, not even for any tournaments. So, that was a huge deal for me and my family. But I mean, to just It was my freshman year. I was a new guy, and just to have him be there made everything so smooth to college hockey and made like adjustment period very smoothly. And obviously, I appreciate him being there for me always. And yeah, I mean, he's my best friend, so it was awesome that one year.
Yeah, going off your role as captain, obviously one of the main responsibilities is kind of rallying around the young guys, the new arrivals. And you got a lot of new guys on the roster, like Will Moore, who just got drafted to the Bruins, along with Kostadinsky and Luca Cloutier, and international guys like Radojcovic. And walk me how that process went, getting those new guys acclimated to this new Division I environment.
Yeah, again, like I think it's the send the tone, right? Obviously, they all come from a pretty good hockey background. A lot of guys played in international tournaments and USHL and stuff like that. So, I mean, they're really good hockey players, right? So you don't want to be up in their grill and kind of be up like all over them 24/7 because they're here for a reason. But at the same time, you got to get the big thing here is getting them involved in the culture, involved with everyone, make sure we have good relationships on the ice and off the ice. And I think everyone was a freshman once, so like you can kind of give them examples for school or hockey or whether it's whatever it may be. So I think just putting you in their shoes is a huge thing, and I think that obviously that's what I wanted my freshman year, so I'm just trying to replicate that. And I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, you should have made the pass there, oh, you should have done this, should have done that, because you're not really getting anywhere for that. So I think, again, setting the tone and also being a good leader and just showing them the ropes of stuff and make them feel comfortable being a BC Eagle.
Yeah, and obviously it makes sense from your perspective, given that you're the new kid on the block not once but twice at two different schools, so you kind of understand how difficult that transition is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, Brady, I, when it comes to this team this year, I think a lot of us can say that it's kind of a year of transition. You had a lot of guys, big guys, that left over the course of last season and now are in the league. So when you think about the challenges ahead towards this season, what comes to mind, offensively, defensively, or just the transitions of younger guys coming in through the pipeline?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say it's a challenge, but at the same time, I mean, we have a good group of core guys that are here right now that, I mean, I'm confident in every single guy, no matter if you're the best guy on the team or the guy that's not playing up in the stands. Like, I'm confident whoever the guys that get put in will do the job. And I think, obviously, you look at us and you lose Leno and you lose Gabe and you lose Fowles and you lose the senior class, but I think guys are so motivated that to do well this year just because people are like, oh, yeah, we're transition, this and that. And I think that's all noise for us. I think we're all pretty confident as a group that we're going to do well. And we just got to go into every game and just give it our all, because I'm pretty confident that we're going to do pretty well this year.
Having said that, those are very, very big shoes to fill. You maybe see it from afar as a defender more so, especially with your time here with BC. But what's the vibe around that offense right now, knowing it's got a lot of points to make up for?
Yeah, obviously it's. I mean, gonna do a Patriots quote, but it's do your job, right? So, like again, like you got put on the team for a reason, right? So I think for us, it's just the next man up. Like, I think we're going to have some guys that really elevate their game. I think everyone over the summer, everyone's looked like they elevated their game at some aspect, one way or the another. I think it's, again, it's the mentality of going in there and knowing you're going to do well. And again, next guy up. So whoever it is that's going to step up, I think we have a good core group that will have a big year, and I think we're going to have some secondary scoring that will also do pretty well this year too.
Yeah, so the bill on that, obviously BC is known for not just like recruiting, but like, you know, physically basically reloading. And yeah. So you know you guys got the skill, they have the talent to like get up there, step up when needed to be, but what is sometimes not there is like, especially from when you're younger to older, the intensity rises. Like, how have you dealt with the level of intensity rising from, well, I guess, freshman year of province to now, especially being a BC captain?
Yeah, I think freshman year, you're just trying to you're trying to figure things out a little bit. You're kind of going in there with ease and trying to figure how the game feels. And I give credit to BC here is we practice 100% every day. Like if you're not a guy that doesn't practice 100%, you're going to get called out. And I think that's kind of our big thing here is every guy's got to give 100%. So again, like I think the intensity, stays the same. It's just a matter of how much work you put into it. It's the same with everything. And I think obviously the bigger games at the end of the year and even the games in November just count as much as the games in whatever March or April when you're playing in the Frozen Four. I think the intensity, if you don't have 100% intensity every game, you're not going to be a successful team. And I think we've preached that this year is you got to give 100% every practice, every game, no matter, and even in the gym or shooting pucks, you got to give 100%. So I think they do a pretty good job here of kind of keeping the intensity even keel all 4 years.
Yeah, so obviously coming from last season, from that final game against Denver, have you guys mentioned that at all? Have you kind of used that as fuel, especially, you know, facing them later this month?
Yeah, I think everyone has a bitter taste in their mouth from that game. But again, it's a new year. We're in 2025 here, and we're in October. We're not in March anymore. Obviously, we had a really good group last year, but no one's really thinking about that now, considering what we have in front of us. To be honest, we're all thinking about October 3rd against Quinnipiac. So I think that's the first step to that goal that we did last year, and I think we're gonna elevate pretty good this year to get a national title.
Yeah, and it's obviously gonna be refreshing, you know, starting the season from a home crowd, which we haven't been able to do the past couple of years. So just getting that start against a talented team like Quinnipiac at home is always very valuable for kickstarting a season.
Yeah, I think I don't know how to stress it enough, but the home crowd is like it drives all of us. Like we say in the locker room, it's like we can't disappoint anyone because how much people just come to the games and watch the games and stay in lines. And like last year, we had to get pizzas for the BU game for guys in line. So like, it means so much for everyone to come and be loud. And it takes, and especially when we're even away, like it's hard playing in environments that are loud. You can't hear each other. You get a big hit. It's like the whole arena changes and the momentum and. I can't stress enough how important it is to all of us to have that first game at home and to play such a good opponent, Quinnipiac. And it would be awesome if we fill Conti and make it really hard on them.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was my question. Like, what has that been? Obviously, I don't really know what the Providence crowd is like. I know it is the rink itself is a little, much smaller. Yeah. And then I don't know if they do theme. I know they do the pink, I think, once. Yeah. But, like, what is that? Like, obviously you just answered it. But, like, I don't know. Like, the blackout and the whiteout.
Well, what's the comparable?
Yeah.
Like, how does it compare to having such a smaller, maybe more aggressive crowd in Providence to here at Conti having, obviously, 7,000, 8,000 people?
Yeah. I think here you're in Boston and you kind of get that Bostonian feel of kind of – those crazy fans that are just in your face and never stop, which we don't want any fan to ever stop. Like, we want them to be loud the whole game. But Providence was – the 2 years out of there, I was there at least, their crowd was – it was hit or miss. Like, we had games that sold out, and then we had games that no one would show up. So it was pretty tough for us there. Obviously, when we played there last year, it was – probably the best crowd I've ever seen there in my life, and I've grew up going to games and stuff. So yeah, I mean, coming here, obviously it's a bigger rink. Fans are, I think, a little more passionate about hockey here, which is obviously stuff that we appreciate more than anything. And yeah, I mean, it's for me, I think the bigger the crowd is for me personally, I think the better I play. So I obviously love a big crowd.
You mentioned that Providence game. That one got a little fun, right?
Yeah, that one was fun. I dealt with some hecklers there, so that was pretty. Yeah. That was pretty funny. I've never dealt with like that.
Turned into WrestlePalooza at
one
point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was a dogfight. Obviously, they're a really good team, so it was fun. Obviously, we came out on top three times against them, which was nice. But yeah, I mean, it's a dogfight. They always have a good squad. So yeah, it was a fun one for sure.
And your situation presents a question we've never been able to ask on here, which is that you've had the opportunity, correct me if I'm wrong, to come into Conte as an opposing player.
Yeah.
What is that like going through that?
Yeah, I mean, everyone, if people don't say that they have BC Circ around their calendar, they're lying. So obviously for me, my freshman and sophomore year, I was always like, wow, like we're playing BC, like this is awesome, especially at Conte. Like I never even stepped foot in there until my freshman year. So it was a pretty cool experience for me to kind of see the crowd. Obviously, remember my sophomore year was a little better than my freshman year. They were loaded that year. So that was a pretty cool crowd. And I remember when they scored, like, it's either the first or second goal, the place just erupted. And I looked over to my line mate and I was like, holy Christ, like this is, we're in for one. And we ended up getting smoked that game. So,
well, now you have a different reaction.
Yeah, exactly. I have butterflies. Smokes. Yeah, and holy smokes, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, to move off from like Conte itself and to personally one of my favorite questions I always ask everyone, obviously you wore number 10 in Providence and now you shift here to BC, you wear 19. What is the reasoning behind your number? Like, is there a story behind it or is it just something that you just got and went with?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I'm not a big superstition guy. Like the numbers never really like affected me. I grew up wearing 8 because of Ovi. That was just kind of my go-to number. And then I transitioned to 10 in high school. My brother wore it when he played at the same high school. Then I liked the number, so then I started wearing that. And then when I came here, I only got to choose from like 5 numbers, and 19 was one of them. And one of my best friends, Cutter Gauthier, he wore number 19, so I was like, you know, I knew I'd ball bust him by wearing it. So I was like, fuck it, I'll just wear number 19. Yeah.
Did he play a factor at all in your move to BC?
Yeah, I mean, he was actually one of the bigger factors. Him and Leno were huge factors for me. Obviously, when I was in the transfer portal process, I went to both of them. I was just like, hey, listen, like, obviously this is a pretty big decision for me. I don't want to really move anywhere else. So did you guys like BC? Like, what's it like? What are the coaches like? What are the guys like? Stuff like that. And they're like, you got to come here. That's literally all they said. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me. And I was just like, you know, I have to come here. And obviously I got an unbelievable opportunity to come here. So it was kind of hard to pass up. But they were huge roles. They talked to the coaching staff on my behalf a little bit as well. So, I mean, I can't thank them enough because I probably wouldn't be here without their support too. So,
yeah. And now they're both obviously because of seeing at the professional level. And I mean, you've had your own experiences at professional level. You were at the Penguins camp development this summer, along with the Rangers one a couple years ago. Shout out Jackson over there, big Rangers guy. So tell me about those experiences and how you're able to take some lessons from that back to this level.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the Rangers one. I was pretty young. I was 18 at the point. So that was interesting for me. I was the youngest guy at the camp at that point. I think that camp, I was a little nervous and didn't really know what to expect. But I was just my brother was there. My brother knew all the prospects there, obviously, because he was drafted there. So that was cool just to – obviously, original six franchise too. Kind of seeing how they do stuff. We got to visit MSG too, so that was really cool. Yeah, I mean that was a little different than the Penguins one, just because how young I was. Like the Penguins one this past summer, I was a little older. Obviously, both of them too. Meeting new people is just a huge factor, I think, in life as well. And obviously, kind of getting perspectives on different things about hockey or about life lessons, stuff like that. And the Penguins camp obviously was super special. I felt more comfortable there just because I've been to one already, and also just I was a little older and kind of knew some guys there, and I just felt more comfortable there. And it was just cool just kind of taking everything in, whether it was the coaches that were talking or whether it was the GM that was talking or whether it was the player development staff or their mind person or the whatever. So obviously they're both – that's the end goal for me is to play in the NHL, and obviously to get kind of that feel from two unbelievable franchises were pretty cool.
So. Yeah, obviously. And then being here, being with all these – all this NHL talent, I mean, that must have felt nice just be able to keep up with those guys more and be more as one along with the other guys at the camp. So
yeah, for sure. That was that was a cool thing too, is just seeing the playing here and you're going against Ryan Leonard, Gabe, and shooting on fouls every day. Mm-hmm. So that was it was pretty special, and to kind of get into that camp, and obviously they're three best cream of the crop, I think. So obviously going to camp, I had some confidence playing with these guys every day, and I know I can play with anyone at whenever time. So I think going with that mindset and Penguins camp really helped me.
So I guess comparing your time at the Rangers camp like 3 years ago, and then now you're at the Penguins this past summer. Would you say that there's a difference between the identity that you kind of have as a player from then and then as you developed through the years with BC and now at your senior year and going through that camp, did you kind of notice anything and pick up on anything that's kind of different from you in the past?
Yeah, I guess my freshman year, or I would say starting back to my U17 year, obviously I came into the program. I was the best guy on my teams every year, and going to the program, playing with all these ultra talented players, I kind of lost my identity a little bit and didn't really know who I was as a player. And I think USA really helped me identify who I need to be a good player at the next level. And I guess going in that camp, I wasn't fully embodied into my kind of identity to be like that power forward, hard nosed physicality there. And I think after going to that camp, going freshman and sophomore year, and then I think coming here, I met with the coaches, and I think I had a really good plan of what I wanted to be as a player, even as a person as well, going forward. And I think this past year, my junior year, I think I really found my identity to kind of a T. Obviously, there's always things to be worked on too, but and then going into this camp, I knew who I needed to be. Not someone else. I just need to be myself at the end of the day, and I think that was a big thing for me personally. And I think this year, that's a big motto for me, is just be yourself. Don't try to be anyone else.
Yeah, obviously going through the life lessons you got along those experiences. You're very close with your brother and your dad. Obviously, they both have experience in hockey. Your dad being in the Providence coaching staff. Who's the one that kind of instilled that importance of being a leader and sticking out and just being an overall role model for the rest of the team?
Yeah, I think my family has always praised herself on hard nose, blue collar, being a good teammate, being a good leader, being a good person, no matter if it's in the classroom or hanging out with your buddies or going to the rink. Like, you don't know who that person you're going to meet is going to be in 20 years. You might need a job for them. You might need something from them. So I think my family as a whole was really important and hard on me to be the best teammate and best leader possible. And I always grew up as trying to be, never cared about how many goals I score. I'm never going to mope on the bench. I'm never going to do this, because I want to be a good teammate for everyone else. And I want everyone to look at me as kind of the guy to rely on in situations, big time situations, and just as a person as a whole. And I think that's been a big thing for my family. My dad, my mom, and even my brother kind of instilled in me since I was an infant. So,
yeah, and obviously they all went to Providence along with your mom. I mean, now coming there as opposing player, were they one of the ones heckling you from the stands? Have there been any fun family rivalries at all?
Yeah, I mean, so this is funny. So my mom and dad are both my biggest supporters, and my mom is a saint, but she does not let anyone speak to her like anything. So she was wearing a BC polo and sweatshirt and hat, whatever. She was all
eagled out.
And one person comes over to her and she's like, "What?" Like, she, the guy goes, like, "Why are you wearing that?" My mom's like, my son plays hockey here. Like, I'm going to support my son. She's like, "Well, your husband went here. He went here. Your other son went here and you went here, but you're not wearing any PC stuff." She's like, "No, I'm not. I'm a DC mom." So that was pretty funny. But PC has always been home since I was younger. Unfortunately, things didn't work out there. And I think we're all focused on being an Eagle family now. So we're all Eagles now.
That's what we want to hear.
Yeah. To build up on rivals a little bit, I got a little fun question from my good friend Paul Davey.
Yeah, okay.
He's talking about how you were gross golf, apparently. And he says he was kind of asking, like, where's your favorite court? Like, just wanted me to ask you some golf questions.
Yeah.
Assuming he needs some tips.
Playing with Paulie is something else. He's a fun guy to play with. We always have. It's just hysterical. He's a funny guy, too. But, I play with my dad and then a couple of my buddies from home pretty much, I think, every day in the summer after workout and skate as much as I can get out. I finished the summer as, like, my index is like a 3-4. Oof. Yeah, so I played a lot, and I'm fortunate enough to know some pretty good golfers, around from my house. Like, there's like three guys that are all like plus handicaps, so yeah. I'm like, I gotta compete with these guys. Like, I don't want to like let myself down. But probably the best course I've played, I played this course in called Seminole in Jupiter, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty lucky enough that my girlfriend's dad belongs there, so we played, and we were playing, and so we're on the green, and I'm like in the middle of putt, and we're playing a match against two of his buddies, and I remember I was in the middle of putt, and my girlfriend's dad is hysterical, and he's a loud guy, so I'm in the middle of putting, and I'm like lining up my putt, and then all I hear is, "Hey, what's up, Rory?" And then I was like, I looked back, and I was like, "Is this like just guys named Rory?" And then it ended up being Rory McIlroy playing directly behind
us. That's the Seminole for
it. Yeah, playing directly behind us, and then I was too chicken to go over and introduce myself. Which I'm kicking myself from that. But that was probably my highlight golf story. I've never had a hole in one, so I can't really speak on the hole in one. But
was there any competition with Leno at all? Because he told us allegedly that he's a scratch.
Oh, yeah, he's a really good golfer. I've played him a couple times. I've beat him. He's beaten me pretty good too. So we go after it a little bit. It goes back to program days, because I remember in the spring, my U18 year, we were done, but they still had spring workouts, and he was like, let's golf. So we ended up, it was like me and I would just grab like anyone, and then it would be like him and Smitty golfing. So that was a fun time too. And he's a pretty good, he can just kill the ball. Yeah.
Who's your favorite person from here to play with? Or I guess group of four.
If you want to have a fun time, I think Paul's like the funniest guy to golf with. But I think the four better golfers on our team are my roommate Will Traeger is a pretty good golfer. There's some other guys that say they're good, but I don't really know if they're actually good.
Like who?
Dean like claims he like shot 2 under at like Granite Links, and I was
great course.
Yeah,
B,
yeah,
tough course.
Yeah, tough, very tough course. So I was like, Then I saw him hit, and he like shanked one right, and I was like, okay, yes. Probably like Will Traeger. I golf with Traegs a lot. I golf with Timmy DeLay a lot, and I golf with Nolan Joyce a lot. Those are probably the three guys
it's
I golf
group.
With. Yeah, no, it's a good group. It's a fun group. So
I can't remember if Coach told us last year if he swings it.
Oh, he does. Yeah,
he does. Yeah,
he's a pretty good golfer, I think. Yeah,
the whole team.
Yeah, yeah.
I think best golfing team on campus.
Yeah, we golf. We golf a lot.
Think you can take the golf team if push team to shove?
I don't think so, because I. So my roommate now, Triggs, he used to live with one of the golfers. We call him Pogues, Jack. I don't know how to pronounce the last name, Pogue, Eric or something. But Triggs.
Pogo?
Yeah. Yeah, me, Pogues, and Triggs golfed. And he's like, he played so bad that day, but you can just tell like he is way better than all of us. So.
This kind of bleeds into our final section, although I don't mean to take your duties back, but what's your favorite BC sport to watch that isn't hockey?
I think I've dabbled in majority of anything. I need to find a new guy, but me and Leno last year would always like to go to all every single sports game, really. I would say, I've always been a, like, hockey, basketball. I love baseball. Like, I'm a huge Red Sox guy personally. Ooh, yeah.
Well, we can give you a bit of an update. It's 2-0 Yanks at the end of the first.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. I might be going tomorrow.
So yeah, there you go. I'm a massive Red Sox guy. I've always enjoyed baseball. Football and basketball are probably the three sports I probably watch here the most.
Do you watch hockey? Because I know there are a lot of guys who just like say like, ah, I'm always on the ice, always doing this. Like, there's no.
Yeah, me personally, I am one of those guys. I don't like. I will always watch my brother or sometimes watch my dad's team. And I'll like sometimes watch if I know like the Ducks are on or, my other friend Rucker when he's on the Penguins. Like I'll watch those games. But yeah, I don't go and choose to watch hockey for my free time. So it's just I'm in the rink all the time. Like I'll watch video lot with myself. But that's really about it for hockey.
Yeah, not for like entertainment.
No.
Get that.
I was gonna say, like, since we already started at halfway through, might as well go through the rest of it. So our last segment usually with our guests is that we do a little bit of rapid fire. So we ask general BC questions about your life as a BC student athlete. So first of all, what's your favorite dining hall?
I was always a lower guy, but I got introduced to a Mac salad by my girlfriend.
Okay.
He's on it.
I can respectfully say I am a huge Mac salad guy.
Wow.
Yeah. Wait, are those?
I personally think the only thing here that rivals the Mac salad bowl is like a steak and cheese like rice bowl from Lower, but they don't do it every day now.
Yeah.
So now I'm
Mac.
Well, just to clarify,
you're talking about the
Blazing
salad bowl, right? Yeah.
What's up?
You're talking about the Blazing salad bowl, right? The one with the
no, it's like popcorn chicken.
Yeah.
You put like
dude, Blazing salad bowl.
It's like a whole station when you go to the left is like popcorn chicken.
Popcorn chicken's real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You only get it for the popcorn chicken.
I can't handle going back to Mac after spending two whole years.
So
that's your favorite
menu item. Yeah, that's exactly. And the old reliable is chicken or rice for for us.
Yeah, you know it. And then favorite class you've taken?
I think business law. Shout out to Professor Wesner. He was my guy. Wes was my guy. So that's probably been he just made the class enjoyable for me. So I think that's probably the best I've took here.
Yeah. And your favorite dorm hall? I mean, you have so many to choose from, but
I think for me, I stayed in Stayer last year and I'm in Iggy now. Iggy's just, it's so much more spacious. You have a kitchen. I love cooking. So
yeah.
I've always wondered this, what's the transfer process like where do they assign you, like from a rooms perspective, how does that all work?
So when I came in last year,
yeah,
is that what you mean?
Yeah.
So I got super fortunate that some guys transfer, some guys left in my junior class, and Triggs was the last guy standing, so then I was like, all right, I got some room with this this kid. Triggs. So yeah. we ended up being best friends, but it was pretty funny that it worked out like that. Obviously Cutter roomed with him too, so I kind of know him, and he was like, you'll love this kid.
And then to go back to the cooking thing, everyone's got a signature dish, especially if you like to cook.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite thing you cook?
I've always made these like good tacos, but this year I think I learned how to make like a nice like chicken parm.
Yeah.
So I make like a nice chicken parm with vodka sauce, and that's... Oof. That is my, that's That's my sweet spot right there.
There you go.
That sounds tasty.
Yeah. No,
doesn't beat Parterre's, though.
Probably. Is he?
Do you know?
Yeah, ball, yeah, the ball, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
That was us.
Yeah.
I don't even know how we begin to explain this to our listeners.
That was, yeah. That was
I'm just going to say, if you know, you know.
Folks. Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. You know. Yeah, for all our dedicated listeners out there. Yeah, so our final segment, we ask every athlete this. Obviously, with the rise of NIL, most people have had a dream NIL deal. What is yours?
You can only pick one.
Wow.
We've got like, Go-Go Squeeze once.
Goose and Mercedes-Benz.
There's Goose and Mercedes.
I think me personally, I think Rolex would be
all right.
I think we've had that before, but it's a good one.
Yeah, we were actually just talking about that today because Smitty's a Red Bull guy.
Yeah.
So we were talking about like what would be the coolest one, and I someone said Rolex, and I was like, that would probably be.
I'm waiting for one of the hockey guys to say some golf company.
Yeah, my other thought would be like some sort of like golf apparel.
Yeah,
like I've always been like for clubs. I don't know what I would do for clubs, but like for apparel and stuff like that, I'm a big Johnny O guy.
Yeah,
Johnny O is
all over my store too.
I love it. They got that now. Johnny O is awesome for me.
Yeah, so it's kind of. Wraps it all up, but I'd like to thank you so much for joining us today. Obviously, it's very, very exciting time around here. BC Hockey is kind of the central cog of student athletics here. And yeah, best of luck this new season. And to all of our listeners, Pat Conte on this Friday against Quinnipiac. Hope to see you all there.
I do have an announcement. Wear maroon. That will be coming out. That should be coming out. Tomorrow or tonight.
Mr. Barstool himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
The inside info.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. And like you said, we need everyone full support every game because I can't stress enough how important it is to Pat Conte for away teams.
Yeah. And best of luck to the rest of the season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I can't clap.